I haven't really completely broken up with
Justin
yet.
But you will. Believe me, relationships don't make you turn so...
Justin.
It's a drunk.
Shelly? Dance with me?
In your dreams, loser. He's not a drunk. He's a borderline addictive personality who happens to like alcohol a lot.
Lily? Will you dance with me?
Ew!
Paige? Would you dance with me?
I'd rather be boiled alive.
Did you guys see the police are here talking to people?
No, I know. So awful.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. They'll need dental records to identify you.
You have a sex life?
Yeah, I do. And I don't charge by the hour like you.
How dare you?
Oh, get your hand off me, you mail order bride from hell.
Jeremy Melton?
Who's Jeremy Melton? Come on, sixth grade?
Pervert, 60 pounds.
Bookkeep, you look so pretty, babe.
God, we were so horrible to that kid.
Who's Jeremy Melton?
This loser from sixth grade.
It's Jeremy. I got a Valentine the other day and it was awful. And someone was saying that they were going to kill me and it was signed JM.
Hi, I'm Barbara Crampton from Chopping Mall and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Welcome back to The Hysteria Continues on this very, very early morning. How early is it for you, Nathan and Joseph?
It's 5.
In the evening?
Yes, a.m.
A.m. So you have to forgive the boys if they're a little bit sleepy. The reason for this, for us getting up early, as it were, is we're doing a commentary for 88 Films Nail Gun Massacre after this, so...
Is anyone else hearing lots of birdsong in their head, or is it just...
Who's sitting outside?
It's the ambience of the early morning.
Oh, right.
You see.
Very good.
Thank you. Anyway, I've got a few more little sound clips to come later. I've been trolling around for a few for Eric. Mm-hmm. So those will be coming up in a little bit. But also coming up in a little bit, we've finally got... you're finally going to get to hear the Duck Sauce Inga remix...
Oh, yes.
Ahead of the a quiz, which apparently is designed to bring out the Inga in all of us. But also, we are, this morning, all star-crossed lovers, because we are going to be revisiting Valentine, 2001's Valentine, which was chosen. Do we remember who this was chosen by, Joseph?
Yes, it was a listener pick by Chris Genro.
Right. Well, thank you, Chris. Well, it remains to be seen if we're going to thank you or not, or spank you, as it were. So, before we do that, anyway, how are we doing? Considering how early it is, Joseph, are you excited to be covering Nail Gun Massacre a little bit later?
I am excited for Nail Gun Massacre. I'm actually excited for this episode. And, Eric, would you dance with me?
Ew!
And Nathan, how about you? Are you excited?
And Justin, do you remember the kid that you made fun of in school? He remembers you.
Yes, yeah, you might.
Big goth bully. Remember that guy in that podcast you used to bully?
Yeah, is he going to come and get me?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine he'd be too close to a toilet bowl, wouldn't he, Eric?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, if any of us were up late last night, we might have seen Eric's slightly drunken rambles on Facebook and various other places. Yes.
Well, I was sitting listening to records and one gin and tonic suddenly magically turned into 5.
5,
and,
wow. Okay.
The measures weren't mean, if you can understand me. Wasn't the best preparation for... a podcast and a Blu-ray commentary.
And who was pouring those gin tonics?
That would have been me.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay, Eric. Well, this help is just one call away. I'd just like to say that. So So, anyway, we'll be getting on to...
I'm not that dissimilar to David Blue's character in Valentine.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was your special preparation, wasn't it? You were getting into method acting.
That's it, yeah.
Method podcasting. So, all good. Well, before we get on to the main feature and the quiz, we'll do in time on a tradition, some recently seen. So, Joseph, do you want to go first?
Yeah, the only thing I've really watched, aside from... a lot of TV reruns on Hulu, is I watched Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is not really a horror film per se. I mean, it has certainly has the kind of feel of a horror film. It's more of a film noir, but it's basically a character study of this I guess you'd call him a go-getter slash sociopath who will pretty much do anything to land the perfect job and succeed at all costs. And Jake Gyllenhaal basically somehow gets tangled up in the nightlife of filming car crashes and then selling the footage to the news and filming various crimes. And he just goes to great lengths to film a lot of these really gory, grisly crime scenes and to kind of further his career. It's a really good character study, very entertaining, very dark and very disturbing, and very suspenseful, especially towards the last 20 or 30 minutes. Good performances all around. I'd heard of it, but I thought it was like another superhero film, because I think there's a comic book character named Nightcrawler, so I just kind of avoided it. But then someone was like, check it out, you'll like it. And I really do recommend it if you're looking for that type of film.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that up in Newcastle when I was up there at the cinema when it came out. It's a good film, isn't it? It's quite disturbing.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, actually.
Mm. What about you, Nathan and Eric? Have you seen Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
No.
Sounds too intelligent for me.
Well, it's not really, Eric.
I don't want to have to use my brain.
Mm. But it's just as well we're covering Valentine and Nailgun Massacre today, then, isn't it? So, right, is there anything else, Joseph?
No, that's it for this week.
Okay, well, what about you, Nathan?
Well, Wes and I watched Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3.
Oh, I bet Wes loved that.
Yeah, he actually does like them.
Okay.
And I do love those movies, but the main reason I'm bringing this up is because I was under the influence while watching these movies. And
the influence of Jesus.
Sure.
His divine mercy was flowing through your
of course
heart.
Yeah. And I looked at Wes during Sleepaway Camp 2 and I said, you know what just hit me? These people Angela's killing, that's somebody's daughter. These are people that have people that love them. And now they're going to be told they died at camp. And Wes, he was about to roll on the floor laughing because it was just so random and ridiculous.
Oh, Nathan, you crazy junkie.
Crazy junkie. Oh,
he's a crazy junkie.
God,
I just felt so bad for these kids and their families.
It's like the Betty Ford Clinic in here, isn't it, today?
It is. No, it does. It's very moving, that film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. People who use weed go to hell, Nathan.
Yeah, people who have tattoos go as well, so I'll save you a seat.
Yep.
Ooh, okay.
You have tattoos, and if you're a hemp huffing rager, you will end up in hell.
Is a rager the same kind of thing as it is in the UK?
I have no idea.
I don't know what it is in the UK.
Isn't it a raging rager? Queen? Yeah, a raging homo.
Yeah.
Well, it has the same connotation. It means you're, flamboyantly doing something, I guess.
Like puffing away on a fat one.
Yeah.
Playing the pink oboe.
Yes. Right. Well, okay. Well, that's a sneak behind the curtain, isn't it, of the hysteria continues again. Is that one lighting one up?
Yeah, he's like lighting up a doobie.
I'm just kidding. I was just flicking the lighter.
It's 5 a.m., Nathan. Yeah. Blimey. That's dedication for you.
Am I the only sober person on this podcast?
You are.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, we'll come on to me later.
No thanks.
I passed a kidney stone. It helped.
What, while you were watching Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3?
Yeah, I mean, I have recurring kidney stones, and they're very, very, very painful.
Too much salt in your diet.
Mm. I'm about to eliminate it altogether.
How do you pass it? Is it through your winkle?
Yep.
Yes, that doesn't feel that great either.
Mm.
It's like sounding, except our sounds, except in reverse.
So, hey,
what sounds? That? You know, sticking a skewer down your winkle.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
No? People do that.
Yep.
What, like a shish kebab?
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard of it.
It's all very happy birthday to me, except with the winkle.
Yeah, why do they do that?
Because some people like it.
What's it do though? I couldn't really see the point of it.
The male member is in an excited state, and you stick a kind of a skewer down the open bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. People are weird. Okay.
Okay. So, have you managed to pull it out from last night, then, Eric?
Nothing would go in there.
Okay. So, Nathan, apart from kidney stones and doobies and Angela, have you been watching anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, I can see this is going to turn into quite a demented show, isn't it? Which is all good. And we haven't even got to the quiz yet. So, Eric, Inga, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And what have you been watching? We've already said that, haven't we? So, yes.
Yeah. I'll just mention the latest Terminator movie, Terminator Genisys, because I'm sure it's of interest to Joseph. And I know the first one could probably be shoehorned into the slasher movie category by us, seeing as we...
Actually, I saw that and I forgot to mention it, but go ahead.
Yes, there was one scene in particular I just wanted to mention, and that is a scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger, as the Terminator, is arrested. He's having his mugshot taken to the tune of Bad Boys, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? Which is a theme music from Cops, the 90s TV show. I kind of rolled my eyes back and thought, oh my God, this just couldn't get any cheesier. It was an entertaining enough movie, certainly on a par with 3 and 4, but I don't think it'd be one I'd be revisiting again. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot, actually. It's dumb. It's nowhere near the, you know, caliber of the original Terminator, but I did like them recreating, you know, the opening moments of the original Terminator with all the young Arnold CGI stuff, and then they start, you know, basically zipping through time and everything's different. You know, that was kind of entertaining, but it's a dumb movie. But it's, you know, if you go in, shut your brain off, have some popcorn, it's a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, but not a slasher movie. But I don't know if anyone else has seen it, have they?
No. It hasn't got very good reviews, is it?
No. And that's why I was kind of pleasantly surprised by it, because I was expecting it to be dreadful.
Mm.
What I have been watching horror-wise is that a number of Blu-rays have come out in the UK and Ireland since we last were doing the podcast, one of which we mentioned, actually, on our Alien show, and that's Luigi Cozzi's Contamination, which looks great on Blu-ray, with some fantastic extras on that. The higher definition does show how pretty pathetic the special effects are, but that's all part of its charm. Highly recommended. Also, unbelievably on Blu-ray, is Joe D'Amato's Anthropophagus, which we haven't covered yet on the podcast. We have done it sort of semi-sequel absurd. This looks pretty good. I mean, it's never going to, you know, look like a sort of 2015 Hollywood movie, but it's certainly the clearest I've ever seen the film. And there's, you know, scenes that you could never make out before are now finally, you know, you can see what's happening. So that's pretty good. And also the final one I have, and this is from 88 Films as well, is their remastered version of Zombie Holocaust, which is just an absolute hoot. Actually, there is one of the extras on it is a Q&A with Ian McCulloch, which was at the Manchester Festival of Fantastic Films, which is where, was that what you were at, Justin, last October?
It was, yes. I'm not sure if he was... I didn't see him there, so I don't know if that... It may have been a different year.
Oh, maybe it was, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't specify what year, so...
Mm-hmm.
But he's very entertaining. He's very sort of self-deprecating and very chatty about, you know, and has great memories of the sort of three movies. Of course, he's in Contamination as well, and famously in Zombie Flesh Eaters. But all three highly recommended if you are living in this part of the world. It's great to see, you know, these sort of trash classics being brought back to life.
Out of interest, because I got Zombie Holocaust through the post from 88 Films on Friday, and I checked out the quality a little bit, because I was I kind of donated to their restoration.
Yeah, that's what I did as well, yeah.
With the Anthropophagus, is that, what's the picture like on that? Is that any good?
it's very grainy, but it's clear, and it's quite sharp. But I mean, it, you know, my exposure to the Anthropophagus Beast, which sounds rude, initially was on a 27th generation VHS where I could not make out anything and everything was blurry and out of focus and dark. So this is quite a revelation. But no, don't expect, you know, they're not miracle workers, so don't expect, you know, outstanding. But I think it's pretty close to what they've done with Zombie Holocaust, picture-wise.
Okay. No, well, that sounds good. Yeah, the Zombie Holocaust looked, I watched it and it was very grainy, but I think that was probably the film stock.
Yeah, I don't think, as I said, they're not miracle workers. They, no. You know, I don't think it could be improved any further. So.
No.
If we ever cover Anthropophagus, would that be our first, like, retroactive show? Like, going back to, cover something that came before a different movie? Like,
yes, I'm sure it would. Yeah, it would be.
Because we usually go in order when we do, like, series and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, although Anthropophagus Absurd aren't, I don't think they're official sequel. It's not an official sequel. I think it's sort of unofficial.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's kind of, it just happens to have Luigi, no, what's it, Luigi Montefiore?
George Eastman, yeah.
George Eastman, yeah, in playing the main role. But that's the only connection, isn't it, apart from him being a psycho.
Certainly, quality-wise, I would say.
I've actually got the... I can't remember which... It's a Death Waltz Records brought out the Absurd soundtrack on vinyl, which I bought. And it's absolutely terrific, but the packaging is amazing. It has
awesome.
The cover has George Eastman pulling out his intestines, and the intestines spell out the word absurd. Now, I know that's actually a scene from Anthropophagus rather than its follow up, but I'll let them away with it because the word absurd is also embossed, so you can sort of feel the intestines.
Gosh, I've seen that at my local record store, but it's £26.
I know it was bloody expensive, but I wanted it.
Yes.
And I'm a princess and I get what I want.
is it the kind of thing you would listen to over and over?
See, this is the thing with me and movie soundtracks is no.
No. I know, because there's loads of soundtracks and they look so beautiful and they're packaged. And I kind of just think, and I have bought a few of them. There's like City of the Living Dead and some of the Fulci ones, which I haven't bought, but they're all sitting there. And I'm thinking, if they go down in price, if they go on the sale, I might get them. But I'm just thinking, how often would I actually listen to them?
That's the thing, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, probably won't get an outing now for a long time, but I just like looking at the sleeve. So,
well, no, that's fair enough. I mean, the one I did make an exception for is like the Italian soundtracks, because I do sort of get some of those if I can.
The sort of loungy giallo ones.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really hoping the Mondo Morricone come out on vinyl soon, because they were fantastic. But the trouble with some of the giallo soundtracks is that you get some really great sort of jazzy 60s kind of pop kind of Morricone stuff, but then it's got all the incidental music, all the so it's not the kind of thing you can put on just in the background you know, a party or anything. But I did make an exception for the Halloween 2 soundtrack, because
that's perfect. Excellent.
And I would get I'm surprised Suspiria isn't out, a soundtrack on its own, because I know Goblin. You're familiar with Goblin, aren't you, Eric?
I'm very familiar with Goblin, yeah.
Yes, I'm surprised that... no, I know they've got some stuff out, like their live shows and stuff. But anyway, thank you, Eric. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, right. Well, I guess it falls to me to sort of talk a little bit about the Scream TV series then. I know...
about that one as well.
Sorry? Yes, you forgot that one as well.
I saw that as well, and I forgot about it, with good reason.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what you think, actually, because I watched the second episode. I've watched both of them now, so I'm up to date with it. But, Joseph, you weren't impressed with the first one, were you?
No, not really. I just thought it was kind of like it was like a little too talky, and they tried to be like, you know, do the whole clever self-referential wink-wink stuff that just kind of feels, you know, it kind of feels, you know, been there, done that, and... I don't know. The production value was, I mean, I guess you had to kind of give it, you know, an allotment, you know, for that, considering it's on TV, so it's not going to have as high of a production value. But some of it just felt really cheap and kind of soap opera-ish, and certainly not really scary like I'd hoped. More like felt more like a soap opera overall. I especially kind of got a laugh out of the phone voice. Sounded more like the Professor John Frink from The Simpsons than it did, you know, Roger Jackson. He's like, I'm coming to kill you. I haven't seen the second episode. Everyone says it's a lot better, so I'll eventually watch it. But I don't know, just didn't really do anything for me.
You can actually watch it on free on YouTube, the first episode, if you are looking to watch it. So, Eric, have you seen it yet?
No, I have no desire to see it.
Have you no desire? Okay.
None whatsoever. I'm iffy about Scream films as it is, and TV shows, you know, everyone was telling me The Walking Dead is the best horror TV series ever, and I watched the first season and didn't like it. So I just don't trust people's opinion. I don't, you know, when people say a TV show is really good, I know that I probably won't like it.
Now, are you going to be watching the Evil Dead TV show?
Yes, that one does intrigue me. And as well as that, it's only half-hour episodes as well, which is, yeah. I think, it's perfect.
And it looks great.
Nathan, have you watched the Scream TV series yet? And what did you think?
I liked it, but I haven't had a chance to watch the second one yet.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't think it was fantastic or anything, but I thought it's enough to where it's decent enough that I'll at least give, you know, the next few episodes a chance and see if they grab my attention. Apparently the second episode's better, so I'll check it out.
I did watch the second episode yesterday, and I think it was better. It's kind of hit its stride a little bit more. I think they tried to cram too much in the first episode. The difficult thing with it is if they didn't do all the self-referential thing, people would be going, well, they're not, why aren't they doing it? And they are doing it, and I think they've shoehorned a lot into the first episode, and it calms down a little bit in the second episode. And I kind of like the way that they're now using the social media thing, which obviously wasn't around, you know, in the original Scream movies. The thing I didn't really understand, there's no connection to the Scream movies apart from the self-referential thing. It's set in a completely different town. It's got a completely different backstory. There's no connection to Woodsboro at all, which surprised me. I thought there might be. I thought that they would have gone down that route, because Wes Craven's executive producer essentially means he plays golf while they make it. And the Weinsteins are kind of behind it. But apparently it's been greenlit for a second series, isn't it? So,
I don't know. I mean, how many episodes is there in the series?
I don't know.
I think the first season is supposed to be 10 episodes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I honestly don't remember, because I didn't really care too much for it. But didn't the fourth Scream sort of use the whole kind of YouTube, everyone's on the internet type social media thing?
The fourth one did, yes.
Yeah.
But then that's the fourth one's probably, you know, best forgotten.
Better best forgotten, as Steps once sang.
Yes. Talking of other TV shows, I watched the first season of Hannibal, and I kind of gave up on it after that. But I found some very interesting information last night that a certain somebody is going to have a new song on the last episode of Hannibal 3. Can you guess who that is? And it isn't
Toya? Susie Sue.
It is Susie Sue, yes. So it's been invited to write a special song for the last ever episode of Hannibal. So there's something to look forward to, isn't it, Eric?
Wow, can't wait.
The only other TV thing I was going to say, I watched, without any spoilers, but I watched finished Game of Thrones, so up to date now. The only reason I'm mentioning it, and it's not really a spoiler, is that there's a fantastic... The season in its all is a bit slow. The middle, it kind of drags quite a lot in the middle. But towards the end, there's a fantastic zombie battle, which is everything you could want in The Walking Dead, but you'd never really get, in so much it's kind of very epic with thousands of zombies and people fighting zombies and just massive battle. Nathan, you watch it, don't you? Are you up to date?
Yes, I'm up to date.
Yes. Did you enjoy the zombie battle?
I did. I enjoyed a lot of stuff about the this past season. Mm. I love the old lady, Olena, the one who's very no-nonsense, and she hates Cersei.
Oh, what, you mean Dinah Rigg?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I love her on that show. I think she's very blunt and speaks her mind.
She's always going on about pillow biters, isn't she?
She is. Well, her grandson is one, right?
Exactly.
But she's not saying it in, like... She's against, you know, gay people. She's just saying it like because she's very blunt and she just doesn't understand what the big deal is.
I know. She gets on going. I've called him a pillow biter or a sword swallower.
Yeah. but she's like that cranky, lovable grandma.
Yes, no, absolutely. So it's quite difficult to see, you know, actually recognize Dinah Rigg and, you know, what she used to be in the Avengers and in a cat suit. but I guess she must be in her 70s now. I don't know, but a bit like Toya. What else have I watched? The last thing I've mentioned was another 88 films release, which got on Love Film, was Dead of Winter with Mary Steenburgen and Roddy McDowall. Has anyone ever seen that?
Yes, long time ago.
Mm. Well, it's part of their slasher classics line, and I think it probably is a bit of a stretch to call it a slasher movie, because it's not really until the last maybe 15 minutes, and it turns into a bit of a kind of. I mean, it's one of those. It was made in the late 80s, I think 87 or so, but it's kind of one of those almost like a Curtains, I kind of guess in that kind of way, and it's Mary Steenburgen gets hired to fill in for a role for an actress that we know the audience knows to be murdered, but they say she's just had a breakdown, and so they hire her because she looks exactly like her, but it turns and she goes out to this mansion in the middle of nowhere in the middle of winter. With Roddy McDowall's this butler and this director in a wheelchair, and basically things happen, and it's all kind of, you know, like murder mystery suspense type thing, and it turns into a little bit a kind of slasher kind of knife play towards the end, but not massively. But it's quite enjoyable, and I enjoyed it for like a more of a kind of Hitchcockian, I kind of guess, sort of take on that kind of thing. But yeah, worth a watch. So. Right, well, that's recently seen. So I think we should think about doing the quiz, shouldn't we?
We should.
Do we want to warm up with Duck Sauce Inga Remix?
Sure.
And then after this, you'll come in with the quiz. Here we go.
Barbra Streisand.
Miguel! One great Latin lover thinks he can just sit there looking like God's gift to women. Lousy fraud! Bite me! Hurt me! Oh! Oh! Bite me! Hurt me! Oh! Oh! Bite me! Angela! Angela! Angela, for progress in Spanish, nothing beats lessons in bed, lessons in bed, lessons in bed. Honestly, how gruesome, that's a bit far-fetched. Honestly, how gruesome, that's a bit far-fetched. Honestly, how gruesome, that's a bit far-fetched.
Antonio.
Bite me, hurt me, oh! You're quite a repertoire of chilling tales. Chilling tales. Inga! Oh, how can you just look at me like that and laugh at me? Oh! Honestly, how gruesome, that's a bit far-fetched. Angela?
Oh, Eric. Is that all your own work?
That's all my own work. That was originally put together for our Bloody Moon episode many, many moons ago, but I never got a chance to finish it properly and discovered it on a USB stick a couple of weeks ago.
That's fantastic, isn't it? I think that'll be
yes,
a big
it was
hit
really good.
With our
hey, Eric.
Listeners.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Did you feel that the movie Inga was bullied by her friends?
Yes.
Is that the first question of the quiz?
No.
Oh, what do I win?
Opinion.
Oh.
That was an opinion question. Justin, did you feel that Inga deserved to be bullied by her friends?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've actually got a file, because I haven't actually got any sound clips for the quiz, but then I found this quiz show intro. So shall I play it? I don't know what it sounds like. Let's see.
Let's check
it's
it out.
It's not Muffy. It's her twin sister, Buffy. She's got a twin sister.
Another classic.
But for all we know, the killer could be sitting right next to you.
Good night, Mr. Darling.
Bastard! Bastard! Bastard!
Beware of what you make fun of, you little asshole.
Make sure, please. I'm not that kind of doctor.
Well, it's all the classics, isn't it?
All the classics.
Oh, my goodness.
Classics from the past, even.
Yeah.
You should hang on to that.
Pardon?
Oh, yes, and then Rod and Roger could get their instruments out, and Jane's got two lovely maracas. Oh, what a smashing idea.
So...
Love it.
Okay, so, Nathan, take it away.
Okay. Our first round is going to be very easy.
Just like
and
Justin.
Here's how this quiz is going to work. Right now, you each have 5 points. So you're all tied. Now what you can do, if you get a question right, is you can add a point to that, or you can take away somebody else's point.
Oh, the intrigue.
So it's totally your call. And by random draw, Joseph gets to go first. So
yay!
Joseph, do you want 1, 2, or 3?
I will take... 3.
Okay. In the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, why is Lieutenant Lefty Enright hunting the Sawyer family?
Because the Sawyer family killed his son.
No.
I don't remember Part 2 that well.
Eric?
Is it because they killed his nephew?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Eric... What would you like to do?
Dilemmas. I think I'll take a point off Justin.
You fucking bastard.
Does he get penalized for being really rude and horrible?
No, actually, foul language is looked kindly upon.
Cunt.
Eric.
What, do I get an extra point for that?
No. Okay, so that takes care of 3. All right, so Eric, 1 or 2?
1, please.
What was the name of Casey's boyfriend in Scream?
Oh. Steve?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. So, what would you like to do?
I'll add a point for me, I think.
Okay. All right, so that leaves you, Justin. It's door number 2. Oh, this is really easy. In what movie does a group of friends dance to a cheesy song while doing a bit of house cleaning?
Evil Laugh.
Yes. So, what would you like to do?
I'll take a point off Eric, please.
You're still losing. I don't care.
All right, so at the end of that round, Justin has 4, Joseph and Eric have 5. So, the next is my favorite. I do it every quiz. How did they die? And you guys know how that one works. Mm. I give you the name of the character in the movie. You tell me how they die.
Okay.
So, Eric, you get to go first.
Number 2.
Kim in the Slumber Party Massacre.
Kim. I can't even remember any of the deaths in Slumber Party Massacre. Does she get a drill to the stomach?
No. Justin.
I don't know. It's probably a drill, or does she get? Is she the one that gets stuffed in the refrigerator? I can't remember. Probably a drill to the back.
No, Joseph.
Is she choked to death?
No. The correct answer is stabbed in the stomach with a kitchen knife.
That's very vanilla.
Mm. Okay, so, Justin, one or three?
One, please.
Stella in Slaughter High.
Stella in Slaughter High. I'm trying to remember which one she is. Does she get electrocuted in the bed when she's having sex?
She does. Mm. So, what would you like to do?
I would like to take a point off Eric, please.
Oh, you're a spa! You're still losing. I don't know why I didn't want to get a point. You would have been the equal pegging with myself and Joseph.
How does that work then? Now, surely me and Eric are now level pegging.
We're both on four and Joseph's
on five. You're both on four and Joseph's on five.
Yeah.
All right, Joseph, that leaves you with three. The Sheriff in Bloody Birthday.
Let me think. Is he... Let's see, she gets the arrow. The Sheriff. Oh, I remember. He gets beaten with a baseball bat?
Yes.
Okay.
So what would you like to do?
I will add a point to myself.
See what you've done, Joseph, or Justin?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph's gone way into the lead now.
I'm going to take you down.
Are you happy?
Me. I'm going to take you down with me, Eric.
Okay, so we're back to, let's see, one, two, three. So now we're starting with Justin.
Okay, so, I'll big number two, please.
You are a big number two.
Mm-hmm.
What 80s girl band songs were featured in the Slumber Party Massacre 2?
Oh, I have no idea. No, I don't know.
Do you want to make up a band?
the Screaming Toyers.
Hey. Nice.
No, Joseph.
I don't remember.
Is it a real band or is it the fake band within the movie?
It's a real band.
Oh.
Is it the Dead Girls?
No. Eric?
A girl band?
Yes.
Is it Diana Ross and the Supremes?
Yeah. No. The correct answer is Wednesday Week.
Oh, yes, that classic
famous girl group. Girl band,
yeah. Hey, I didn't say they were famous. Okay, so next, Joseph, do you want one or three?
I'll stick with three, I guess.
Okay, you should get this. What does Barb call her own mother in Black Christmas?
Shit, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when she talks to her mother. I know it's on the phone. A bitch? I don't remember.
No, Eric.
Big fat fucking flatulent cunt.
Eric.
That's what I thought. Is that not what the answer is?
No.
Or if she wants to be, if she wants to be really insulting, she called her Susie.
Eric, take a point away,
Justin.
From him. Sorry, but me. Well, I would have said a bitch, but I can't remember what she called her. But a slapper.
What is a slapper?
It's
it's like a tart, or
like a tart,
oh,
like a jam tart.
No, she didn't call her that.
Mm.
She says you're a real gold-plated whore, mother. Do you know that?
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barb's mother is a whore. Okay, so I guess this last question is Eric's.
Yeah, bring it on, baby.
Okay. Why were all the daughters brought back home for Christmas in Home for the Holidays?
Because their father was dying.
Yes, but there's a little more to it. Can you give me a little bit more?
And he said that he thought his new wife was trying to kill him.
Yes. So what would you like to do?
I'm taking a point off Justin.
Oh, Eric, come on.
Down he goes to three.
That's ridiculous. You're just going to let Joseph win, aren't you? Just to spite.
Yeah, just to spite you. Mm-hmm. Well, I got one question right and I added a point to myself just to be nice to you, and you just turned around and...
Yep, Eric, let's not forget you started it.
Yeah, just once.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carry on.
Joseph, you get to start this round, and this round is I'm going to give you some lines of dialogue from a movie, and you have to fill in the blank. So would you like one, two, or three?
I'll stick with three.
Okay. This is from Sleepaway Camp. And this character says, yeah, she takes showers when no one can see she has blank.
Hair down there?
Let's see. I mean, you're right, but that's not the exact dialogue. I don't know if we should... what's the consensus here? Should we give a point if it's close enough?
I think if it's not exact dialogue, you should just take a point off Eric.
I think if anyone speaks, then a point should be taken off Justin.
Well, that'll be... He'll point be a zero.
Justin. Point off Justin. Yeah.
Well, maybe a half. Well, half point. I don't know. I mean, it's.
I don't think you should do anything. I think it has to be exact. It's only fair.
We'll go with exact then.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, Joseph. Eric.
Is it just one word, or is it?
It's four words. Four words. Do you need me to repeat it?
No, I'm just going to try and guess from what Joseph said. Hair on her vag.
No. Justin.
Hair on her butt.
Yeah, she don't want anybody to see that. No, I'm sorry, that's all wrong. The correct answer is no hair down below.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Below.
Okay, so now we are at Eric. One or two?
I like big number twos, so.
Okay. This is from Class Reunion Massacre.
Oh, a.k.a. The Redeemer.
Yep. This character says, makeup, dear. You serve others with it. Now we're going to watch it blank.
No idea. Burn.
I'm afraid not, Justin.
Washed off you?
No. Joseph?
Makeup, dear, you serve others with it. Now we're going to watch it all go down the drain.
That's right. Yeah. What would you like to do, Joseph?
I will give myself a point.
Look at Joseph, well, way out in the lead.
Well done, Justin. Well done. Bravo, Justin.
What?
You've created this scenario.
I think, actually, if you listen back, Eric, you started it.
You started it? What, are you five?
Mm-hmm. Listen to yourself.
Just...
You filthy whore.
I'm a gold-plated whore.
Sorry, carry
on. There you go. This is from Halloween, Justin.
Okay, yeah.
That's not fair.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay. The lines
Everyone knows a dialogue from Halloween Inside Out. And don't forget, he has to be exact.
He has to be exact.
Well, give me a chance, Eric.
Okay, so the line of dialogue is, isn't that blank? I don't think so. I think he's cute.
isn't that blank? I don't think so. It's cute. But I think it's it's Ben Tramer she's talking about. But isn't that blank? I don't think so. I think he's cute. Well, all I can say is Ben Tramer?
No.
No.
Joseph?
Isn't that Devin Graham?
Yeah, I'll give that to you. I mean, I think she says Devon, but...
She says Devon.
What would you like to do, Joseph?
I will give myself a point.
Good Lord. So where we're at right now, Joseph has 8, Eric has 4, and Justin has 3.
Second comes right after first.
And Eric, you get to go first this time.
Which one is the Halloween or Friday the 13th question?
There isn't one on this one.
Number 3.
Okay. Now, in cheerleader camp, the character of Corey is the team's mascot. What kind of animal is she?
Oh, it's Lucinda Dickey. What animal is she in cheerleader camp? Is she a bear?
No.
Oh.
Justin?
Gosh, I was going to say she was a bear. What the fuck was she? Crocodile. Or alligator?
That's what it is. I guess crocodile, gator, to me it's about the same thing. I don't know the difference between the two.
Mm. Oh, my God.
What?
Is there a big difference?
Yeah.
Well, but they look the same. She could have been a crocodile. Anyway, it's a lot better. It's a lot closer than a bear, Eric. I will take a point off Eric, please.
No, yeah, he didn't get the question right.
Sorry, Justin. I think I'm going to... I can't give that to you.
Oh, no, I don't think that's fair at all. I think that is not fair. It's a lot closer to the right answer than a bloody bear.
Alligators and crocodiles are completely different.
They are technically two different things.
Yeah, but how do you know it wasn't a crocodile?
Is it mentioned in the dialogue what animal she's
Yeah, because they say... This is Corey. She's our gator. You'll be seeing her later.
Yeah, see?
I think they say, here's our crocodile. See you in a while.
I think they also say Justin is a cheat. He can't stand being beat.
If I'm wrong, Justin, and you can prove in the next podcast they say crocodile, I'll announce you the winner of this one.
I think most of our listeners will be on my side on this one.
So. Okay. Let's see. So, Joseph, you're next. 1 or 2?
I was doing so well with 3. I guess I'll go with number 1.
Okay. This is from the movie The Forest. So, the murderer in that movie, when he attacks Teddy, the blonde girl, what reason does he give her for why he wants to kill her?
Oh, God. I haven't seen The Forest in forever. So you're looking for the reason he wants to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's trespassing.
No. Eric?
Is it because she cheated at a quiz?
No. Justin?
Well, The Forest, there's the two ghost children, isn't there? The children that try and save the people. But is it because she litters?
No. That'd be funny, though. The correct answer is because he's hungry.
Oh, okay.
I can sympathize with that. Just to point out, alligators have wider U-shaped snouts, while a crocodile's front ends are more pointed and V-shaped.
Well, thank you for that, Steve Irwin.
Eric, you get the last one.
Okay.
Can you give me the name of the house mother in House on Sorority Row? Oh,
no, I can't. I'm going to say her name is Sandra.
I'm afraid not. Justin?
Oh, God. Mrs. I can picture her. No, all I can think of is Morgan, because that's not Morgan. So Mrs. No, not off the top of my head.
Joseph?
Mrs. Slater.
That is correct. What would you like to do, Joseph?
Take one off Eric.
Where are we at right now?
You're at 8, Eric's at 4, Justin's at 3.
Take it off Justin.
Take one off Eric.
Take one off Justin's.
This well, is I'm doing speaking. So well with points, so I'll just give myself a point.
Haha.
This is the last one, and I think we start with Justin this time.
Okay.
This is, and you guys are going to be really shocked about this, I did a Jell-O round.
Ooh.
I'm shocked at myself. Justin, 1, 2, or 3?
Two, please.
In Suspiria, when Susie first gets to the school, she hears a girl talking about an iris. What color does the girl mention?
Blue.
What?
A blue iris.
Yes, that is correct.
That's so easy. Take one off Joseph.
Ooh,
if you take one off Joseph, you can still catch him, Justin.
I don't think I can.
You can. Oh, believe me. Yeah. You can.
Nathan, my choice is to take one off Eric. Two, if possible.
No, you can't take two.
It's like a fight for second place. Joseph, 1 or 3?
I'll go back to 3.
Can you give me the name of the character that David Hess slashes up with a razor in House on the Edge of the Park?
Ooh, boy.
That's not technically a giallo, I know, but it's Italian.
Haven't seen that in a while. Toya.
That was Justin's answer.
She'd fight back, yeah.
Eric.
I know she's played by Annie Bell, but I don't know what the character's name is, so I'm just going to say Annie.
Oh, Justin.
I was going to say, I knew it was played by Annie Bell, but I can't remember her name. So I'm going to say Linda.
No, it's Cindy.
Hello, she's Cindy.
Annie Bell's not the one that gets slashes up either.
Oh,
she's the one that he quote-unquote rapes.
Oh. Okay.
All right, so I guess this is the last question, Eric's. Eric, this is a line of dialogue. And you gotta tell me
Okay.
You gotta tell me what movie this line of dialogue is from. It says, "My colors, they transcend me into darkness."
Oh, it's from The House with the Laughing Windows?
That's correct.
Yes!
What would you like to do?
Either way, I'm going to finish second, but just to spite Justin, I'll take a point off him.
Oh, Eric. Well, I can lose with some dignity. So.
No, you can't.
How about you coming second?
Second comes right after first, as I said before.
Yeah, only 6 points away from first.
Yeah.
Eric, what a disappointment.
You finished with big number 2.
At the end of this quiz, Joseph has 9. Eric has 3.
Yay!
Justin has 2.
Well,
I think Joseph should be celebrating, not you, Eric.
I came second.
And may I just say that this quiz went exactly how I thought it was going to go.
Did it?
I thought Joseph would just give himself points, and I thought Justin and Eric would spend the whole time taking away each other's points.
So an exercise in psychological warfare.
It was kind of Big Brother type exercise. Yeah.
What did you all think of this twist in our quiz?
Yeah, I quite liked it.
Very twisty, yeah.
Well, apart from I didn't win, but I like the fact that Eric didn't win either.
Well, I came second, silver medal. He's
still a loser.
Loser, second.
So,
loser.
Well, shall we just say thank you to Nathan for a lovely
Nathan.
Quiz?
You're welcome.
So, okay. Well, shall we get on to the main attraction, which is Valentine? So, after the trailer, whose choice is this?
It's mine.
It's yours. So you're going to come in, Joseph, after the trailer, which is coming up now.
He loves me.
Spend this Valentine's Day.
He loves me not.
With someone you love.
He loves me.
Someone you trust.
He loves me not.
And someone you know.
He loves me.
Won't try to kill you.
Will you dance with me? Dance with me? Dance with me? Dance with me?
Remember the kid everybody ignored on Valentine's Day?
Loser!
Well, he remembers you.
God, we were so horrible to that kid.
What do you think happened to him?
Revenge is sweet, just like a Valentine bonbon. At least, that is what a vengeful Cupid-masked killer thinks. Be my Valentine, or else. Broken hearts and other mortal wounds await a cast of contemporary young stars when they play dating scene veterans dying for love in this humor-laced, twist-filled thriller cleverly directed by Jamie Blanks and starring David Boreanaz, Denise Richards, Marley Shelton, Katherine Heigl, and more. Cards, candy, and flowers are nice, but for fans of Stalker, Shocker, Terror, there's nothing like a Valentine. And that was from the back of one of the DVD releases. I'm not sure which one, but Valentine's a movie I saw when it was released to theaters. Remember not liking it at all. But over the years, I've grown something of an appreciation for it. It's not exactly what I would call a well-made film. It obviously suffers from a lot of post-production editing, especially, you know, the gore. And the pacing seems, kind of haphazard. They spend a lot of time just kind of, you know, falling around. I guess you'd call them incidental characters like, the next door neighbor, or, you know, guys that, you know, so-and-so likes, or even, you know, following around one of the girls' maid character. They kind of tightened up the focus a little bit more on the actual four girls who, you know, four or five girls, however many it was, who basically, you know, tormented this kid, and now he's out for revenge. Or is he? I don't know. It kept going from one little scenario to another. It just felt kind of very sloppy, I guess you'd call it. I think, maybe trimming about 10 or 15 minutes, but then inserting all the gore scenes, which were obviously cut, would probably help the film a lot. You know, as it stands, it's not a terrible movie, but at the same time, it's you can tell it's kind of a last dying breath of the whole postmodern Scream slasher clone thing. By that point, I guess everyone was kind of getting tired of that. You know, certainly I wasn't, but it just felt like it was made, you know, as a, you know, a last ditch effort to kind of cash in on that, and they just kind of rushed through it. A little more focus should have been, I guess, given to it. There's a lot of stuff I do like. I love the opening scene in the morgue with Katherine Heigl being stalked. You know, anytime she gets, you know, killed is a good time for me. But I love the killer hiding in one of the body bags. And I especially love the look of the killer, the Cupid mask, and when they do a lot of the close-ups with his nose bleeding. A lot of good stalking scenes. I like the scene with I can never pronounce her last name, the goofy girl, Jessica Caulfield, I guess her name is. I like her being stalked around that art exhibit and then shot with the arrow. I thought that was especially, you know, good. The identity of the killer, which I will spoil, so if you haven't seen it, you might want to not be listening to this episode, turns out to be David Boreanaz. I thought it was pretty obvious it was going to be him. I mean, who else could it be? He's a big name star. He doesn't really have much to do in the film except for kind of stand around and, you know, act drunk every now and then just to kind of throw you off track. So it's pretty easy to guess who it's going to be. I kind of felt sympathy for him because I really did not care about any of the girls in the film. They were all kind of snotty and certainly without any kind of pathos, however you pronounce that. But anyway, I'd say so-so. I'd hesitate to give it a thumbs up, maybe kind of a thumb sideways. Certainly a movie that could be a lot better, But Eric, what do you think of Valentine?
Yeah, I would probably agree with you. I mean, Jamie Blanks had made one of my favorite of the, quote, trendy horror era of slasher movies with Urban Legend. And this is kind of a tame follow-up. As you were saying, it feels kind of sort of rushed to sort of cash in on the sort of dying trend. It starts out good, as you say. The morgue scene is really effective. You know, the way he's stabbing the body bags, knowing that, you know, his victim is hiding in one of them. That's quite suspenseful. I disagree with you about the look of the killer. I don't think it's very effective for me. It doesn't work. It looks a bit silly. There's no, I don't know, it doesn't seem sinister for me. And unlike you, I think the girls are quite likable in the film. But then I suppose they border on the side of bland, maybe, and that's why the film isn't quite as effective. I did find my attention span waning as the film moved on and on. Another scene I liked in it, actually, that I don't think you mentioned, was where the guy is clubbed to death with the steam iron, which I thought was quite brutal. Although his character was very strange. It was a very strange choice to put that really quirky character in there. He looked, actually, reminded me of Zoolander. What's his name?
Ben Stiller
in Zoolander, yeah. Because when he appeared on screen, because I hadn't watched Valentine for a long time, when he came on screen, I was like, oh my God, is that Ben Stiller? He's on screen now, actually, as I speak, and it obviously is not Ben Stiller. I don't know what I was thinking. It must have been the gin, maybe. I think there's plenty worse from this era of slasher movie. I think Cherry Falls, for me, would be sort of the worst example of the trendy horror trend, if you like, and this is, you know, this is above that. It's as you say, it's quite average. You know, for a lot of its running time, it's kind of bland and not terribly scary, not terribly interesting. It has a decent final girl in Marley Shelton, is that her name? I love the scene where she's forced to rinse her hair in the toilet. That's, you know, touches like that are kind of fun. But overall, the film is really well made. It's really slick and polished, and that's probably its downfall, is that it's just too slick and too polished, that it's a bit bland, and it's very unmemorable. And I can see why it's been filed away at the back of my DVD cupboard for such a long time, because, you know, it's just, there's nothing special about it at all. But there's nothing, you know, it's hard to criticize it. It's hard to say exactly what's wrong with it. It's probably just that it is too slick and too much of a studio product, you know, to be of any, you know, to stand out. So that's its problem for me. But, I mean, decent enough. Maybe a 6 out of 10 if we were grading it. I thought you were particularly harsh in your review on Hysteria Lives. But as you say, that was back in 2001.
My opinion certainly changed. Certainly don't hate it as much as I did back then. But what about you, Nathan?
Oh, I love it.
Of course.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, I don't know. It's obviously, it was cut, you know, very heavily, you know, and I'd love to have seen the uncut version. I like the girls, you know. I particularly like Denise Richards. I mean, I just think she plays the bitchy character really well. In any movie she's been in, she's been a bitch. She plays it really well. but I love the Cupid mask. And like you both have said already, the opening stalking scene in the morgue is really, really well done. It's probably one of my favorite stalking scenes in like the trendy horror type films. I was a little underwhelmed, I guess, with the finale, because I wanted much more of like a chase. And, you know, instead we kind of got what we got, you know, overall, with basically the character of Dorothy being, I guess, framed in a way for the killings. I kind of wonder what happened afterwards. I mean, once the blood, you know, was dripping down in the very last shot, like, what happened after? Like, you know, did he explain it away, or is she dead too? But I'd say my biggest problem with the movie is Denise Richards' death scene. I have a big issue with the killer bringing out a drill and she ends up electrocuted. I mean, how boring. I mean, come on, you've got a drill.
But I kind of like the way she's sort of trapped in there, you know, gasping for air, and he keeps pushing the drill through the cover for the hot tub. Nothing that's
yes, I loved that.
Mm.
But I just thought that ultimately when he just decided to toss the drill in there, it was
true, kind of rather than sticking it through her head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's if that was a Fulci movie now, the drill would have gone straight through her eyeball or something.
Yeah.
There is a reason why he did that, but I'll get to that later.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But in any case, I'm a huge fan. You know, I like most all the trendy horror films, actually. And the chocolate-covered maggots were really gross.
That was gross. And not enough to put me off chocolate. Nothing would.
No.
All right. Justine. Our big number three.
Excuse me. I don't know. I'm a bit kind of ambivalent towards Valentine, really. I watched it and I enjoyed it. But there are a few things in it that do put me off. On the plus side I do like the mask. I think the mask is quite creepy. I think the opening scene was very well done, although I mean a lot of the things that I liked about Urban Legend that were kind of ridiculous, there is a little bit of that, well, not a little bit, quite a lot of that in Valentine, like the fact that the killer would strip off, take away a dead body from the morgue table, strip off and get underneath, and then allow Katherine Heigl to get a scalpel about a centimeter away from his naked belly before starting to twitch, and rather than thinking she might stab him, you know, all these things that none of it makes any sense, but it's kind of gloriously stupid. But it does also fall down into the things that annoyed me was that I think it's vintage in some ways, doesn't work for it. It's not old enough to be kind of retro to appreciate it. It's still, and it's that kind of era with all that kind of new rock, kind of Marilyn Manson style soundtrack was a bit grating. I found the fact that all the men in the film, bar the killer, ostensibly were jerks. Everyone, even the police sergeant tries it on with Denise Richards, and every man is a potential baddie, but they're all, you know, and all the women are kind of fairly bitchy, and although they're kind of fairly sympathetic, they're, apart from the main character, they're none of them, you know, they're all kind of pretty much quite happy, or not happy, but they were just like, oh, we were horrible to Jeremy Melton, so what, kind of thing. So they're all quite one note, I kind of guess, apart from Dorothy, and that was really only the fact that she used to be a fat girl and now she's a relatively thin girl. It was all over the place a little bit for me. There's some other things that did sort of make me laugh. One of the things I really liked, just little touches, like I liked the Millie the maid and her resting bitch face when Dorothy comes in. I don't know if you've ever caught that, but when Dorothy comes back and she says, "Oh, she goes Millie," and then she the maid turns around and she's got the real resting bitch face on her, which really made me laugh. I like the Bay City Roller wallpaper in that room. Do you remember the tartan wallpaper, which is like really daft? And also the climactic party. It didn't make any sense. The whole thing was just completely stupid. The whole party, because you had, you know, what party would you have a hot tub and only have one person in it? What
kind chastity of party?
A chastity party, maybe, but also what kind of party do you have when you have full bottles of booze and everyone goes home?
You know, that's just ridiculous.
That's just ridiculous.
That's so far-fetched.
Well, have you ever been to a party? Well, I know the power goes out and everyone goes home. But then out in the garden, they've got these lanterns and it's lovely evening, bottles of booze everywhere, but everyone goes home. So I know they have to do these things to kind of propel the the storyline, but also there's that character, I don't know her name, but the one who was Kimball's ex who turns up to give Dorothy a hard time, and then, you know, while there's this big party going on, it's a bit like the House on Sorority Row complex, isn't it, where there's big party going on, but if you just happen to go through a door, you go into this completely deserted part of the house where you get chased by the killer. But, you know, those kind of things normally in the slasher movie don't bother me. And they didn't bother me. They were things I actually quite enjoyed in this. But what I didn't enjoy, I thought it was it was almost like the Friends, the TV series of slasher movies. Well, I wasn't that interested in the girls, to be honest. I think they could have done with more slasher action and less kind of chat. That would have probably made it a little, you know, a bit better. I thought it was interesting that it was kind of female-centered horror movie, a bit like something like Sorority Row, which coincidentally was then, you know, another film that kind of pretty much ended the slasher movie, you know, kind of redux or kind of boom, and again was a commercial failure. Because I think Valentine, I think it made its money back, but it kind of, we'll talk about the background in a bit, but I don't think it did particularly well. And certainly it didn't get a sequel, as the ending may have suggested. The other thing that put me off is everyone had, it must have been the time, must have been the fashion for it, but everyone had blindingly white teeth, like that scene with Ross in Friends. You remember when he turns the lights out and his teeth are glowing? Like everyone in this film has this, their teeth are just white, kind of
Hollywood smile.
Yeah, but more so than you see, people seem to have more normal teeth, as in like nice teeth, but just kind of not sort of blindingly white. It's like a kind of the sun flashing off the white cliffs of Dover throughout the whole thing. So that kind of put me off a little bit. But yeah, all in all, it was, you know, it's not. I personally, I would prefer Cherry Falls over this film.
No, I would. Well, I'd have to revisit Cherry Falls again just to make the comparison.
Well, it's another film that got gutted, you know, by. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So
there's one character dynamic in the film that I really did like, actually, was Dorothy and her stepmom.
Oh yes, that was awesome.
Who she called the mail order bride from hell. And I would have liked to see more of that throughout the film. Maybe, I mean, that character disappears, the stepmom, and like she could have been potential victim at some stage, but. You know, unfortunately, that's dropped fairly quickly. But I thought that bitchy dynamic between the two was good fun.
I thought the thing that I found with it again, and I know you can't. I mean, last night we watched just an aside. We watched a Kill Bill double bill on the big screen in the kitchen. This film, nothing dates a film faster than phones, does it? You know,
and technology, yeah.
And technology. And I noticed in this especially, it was kind of like, you know, it can't be helped. I mean, it was just what it was at the time. But the computer screens were tiny and the phones were all flip phones and things like that. It's those things that kind of interestingly kind of date films. And the same with Kill Bill, that although it looks, you know, more or less like a modern film, the phones in it kind of actually remind you you're watching a film that's, 10, 15 years old.
Sorry. I was just going to say that on that point in the last Final Destination movie, was it 5 or was it 6?
Five.
They do cleverly they have somebody on a mobile phone that makes you think, God, that mobile phone looks really old, like we're watching a movie from 2000. And then when it gets to the end of the film, you realize why they've done that. And it's quite subtle, but I thought it was very clever in that instance.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's. I don't know. I wanted to like it more than I did, put it that way. I enjoyed it for what it was. I just thought it was. And considering, again, we'll talk about some of the backgrounds, how it sounded like it was a bit of a nightmare production, so much so that Jamie Blanks actually apologised for the film. So we're actually, it's in some ways, quite lucky that it turned out as well as it did.
It's just like, it's just a movie that's not really bad or offensive enough to give a thumbs down, but it's not really good enough to give a thumbs up. So I did the whole thumb sideways. Certainly, more gore and, you know, trimming about 10 or 15 minutes off the runtime. Because I think it's not quite 2 hours, but it's pretty close. I think that would probably help it a little bit.
Thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know. Aside from, you know, the very last shot, which I do like, which also is a reference to another movie. What was that movie?
Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, Alone in the Dark. Aside from that kind of final, it's him. There's really no sense of, I guess you'd say, danger. I mean, yeah, people get killed, but it just all kind of seems like, it's like you expect him to die. I mean, I kind of want to see somebody you don't expect to die, and then people you don't expect to live, et cetera, like that. I don't know. It just seems kind of paint by numbers, I guess.
And also, I agree, because the women in this don't actually appear to be particularly bothered that they're getting Valentine's cards that saying it's going to take dental records to identify you.
I got maggots in my chocolate. Oh, well. See you later.
Yeah, see you later. And then it's kind of flirting and just going off and doing single day. You know, it didn't have that developing sense of unease, which I kind of guess, you know, a film like Urban Legend kind of gallops towards its climax, doesn't it? Like Eric. But with this, it doesn't. It kind of staggers from one set piece to another, but without having any kind of sense of a mounting menace to it. I didn't find.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you with that. That's why I think, even though I love Valentine, I would probably rank Cherry Falls just a little bit above it, because I thought Cherry Falls did have that sense of like urgency, like especially when Brittany Murphy's getting chased in the school.
Mm.
And there's that shot where the killer's running right behind her, and like it's like he could just reach out and grab her.
Mm.
So I'm like, I didn't really see, I guess, a whole lot of that kind of thing in this movie.
Definite lack of action in Valentine. It's more, you know, just framing shots and watching the killer walk across the screen, and you know, the whole money shot of someone getting killed could definitely use a chase scene or two, I think. Definitely.
For me, it could have used more silliness that made Urban Legend such a fantastic watch and makes it so rewatchable.
This film has, you know, some decent cinematography, but I thought Jamie Blanks did a better job on Urban Legend than he did here. It's just like he seemed like he was just kind of half asleep, maybe.
Mm. Or he may be. Well, we don't know what the back. Well, we know some of the background, but just incidentally, we talked a bit about the gore. But I was watching this, and in the back of my mind, thinking, well, it's famous for having a lot of the gore cut out. But actually, watching the film, I was thinking, well, where were the opportunities for this gore? Because there's not actually. I was thinking, unless they shot soft and hard versions of the gore scenes, I couldn't really see where they could have inserted much more violence. Could you?
No, but if you, and this is probably getting into the background, have you listened to the audio commentary by Jamie Blanks on the DVD?
No, I didn't actually.
He does say that they did shoot more gore, more blood, sort of extended takes of the gore scenes, but that he decided to cut them back rather than the MPAA.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget, this commentary was recorded as, you know, just shortly after the film was released. So, you know, he probably couldn't be as honest as he would want. You know, those commentary tracks on new movies are all like, oh, it was great working with this person, it was great working with that person, oh, everything's lovely and rosy. Mm-hmm. But it's the ones with 20 years of hindsight that you can get sort of bitchy and get into the nitty-gritty of what actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Hmm. Oh, interesting. Well, I didn't know that he kind of cut that back, which seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Because he must have... Mm. It was kind of... He must have realised that the film was a bit of a dud in some ways. So he would have thought it needed all the kind of the help it could get, really.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, shall we get into some background?
Well, I mean, before we do that, I do have some Facebook comments on the film.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go for that.
Okay, I'll read these off real quick. Jesse Gandy says, "It was a final stab from Hollywood at making original slasher films. I don't remember if it was successful, but I do remember that after Valentine, we hardly ever saw original slasher films get a big release." I guess I kind of agree with that. I kind of glossed over that. Let's see. Brad Yasuda says, "It had its moments, but it seemed too much like the other films of its time. One redeeming factor for me is, spoiler alert, that it kills Katherine Heigl off early. I can't stand her as an actress, and this movie does the smart thing by limiting her screen time. The final girl, Marley Shelton, was good, but I didn't like most of the other characters for varying reasons. I need a rewatch, but this was my initial impression." And then Mike Alishan says, "I really love this movie. It would have been my 21st pick for the podcast. I love Jamie Blank's other movies too, Urban Legend. He did a movie called Storm Warning, but that's not really a slasher, which I think it kind of is. But anyway, also noteworthy to mention, when I watch Valentine, you can really tell it's been heavily cut. The gore is left out and the movie has been butchered. I would love to have seen an uncut Matron, unreleased version of the movie. I was also disappointed by Denise Richards' death. It had such an elaborate setup, but just deflates in the end. And then Ben Scherer says, I remember being really disappointed, but I feel like I'd like it now. My favorite part was when one of the leading ladies got depressed and ate a giant plate of buffalo wings. And then Mikey Faulkner says, I would have preferred it if it was 90 minutes of David Boreanaz spanking me. That is all.
Is that from Justin?
Amanda Reyes follows up that comment with, that's a review I can get behind, pardon the pun.
Woohoo, Amanda, you saucy minx.
Yeah. Finally, Cameron Perry says, I liked it.
Wow. To the point. Yep.
To the point, yeah. Yes. So would we like to do some background then? Well, thank you, those people, for commenting on it. I think it's probably good. It's a good idea, actually, to do these kind of pre-things, isn't it? So we even give their tuppence to us. Mm. So we'll do that from now on. Who would like to go first with some background?
I will.
Okay.
This is something I kind of noticed, but it kind of, you know, I guess I forgot about it. But I was doing research on background, I was reminded. The girls, you know, what happens to them is kind of tied into the opening scene when Jeremy Melton / Adam Carr asked each girl for a dance. They each state a mean comment right after he asked them. This foreshadows their fate. Like, for example, Shelley says, in your dreams, loser, and then she dies laying down in a sleeping position. Lily says, ew, and then later she receives maggots in a chocolate box and her body lands in a dumpster. Paige says, I'd rather be boiled alive. She gets thrown into a hot tub and is later electrocuted. And then Dorothy says, he attacked me. She makes everyone believe she was attacked by Jeremy after being caught kissing him behind the bleachers. Jeremy / Adam later makes everyone else believe that all the killings were Dorothy's doing. Finally, we have Kate, who says, maybe later, Jeremy. Jeremy / Adam lets Kate live since she is the only girl that did not insult him and wasn't mean to him. She does eventually dance with Adam and have a relationship with him. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Mm. Although I wish that Paige would have said, I'd rather be drilled in the eyeball.
Yeah.
Just so you can get your little drill scene. I see.
Yeah.
I see. David Boreanaz shot all his scenes in less than 2 weeks. Catherine Heigl only had 3 days to shoot her scenes, as she was already committed to the television series Roswell. Later on, Catherine Heigl adamantly denied even appearing in the film, you know, even though we have evidence to the contrary. That kind of stirred up some kind of rage amongst horror fans. Certainly, I guess I could see why she would want to kind of forget about this film, but, you know, just saying you weren't in it, that kind of seems, I don't know.
Well, she has a reputation, too.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, she doesn't, but anyway.
Well, I mean, like, a reputation for being difficult.
Yeah. Well, she still has that.
I was going to ask about that. What is the deal with her? Because, I mean, she's not that famous. Well, I don't really know.
Well, she kind of spent, you know, the earlier portion of her career, you know, paying her dues like everyone else. But when then she got in, I guess, was it Knocked Up, where she played the girl? She kind of became famous for like 10 minutes, but then she started, you know, bad-mouthing the movie that made her famous, and then no one wanted to work with her after that. And now she's kind of just relegated to kind of, you know, direct-to-DVD stuff or, you know, TV series, if she can get anything at all. Apparently she can be quite a cunt, I guess.
Well, she she's one of the people that I think she also insulted that Grey's Anatomy show that she was on.
Yeah, and that made
her. Before you know it, she's gone. She did insult Knocked Up. She denied being in Valentine. I mean, you can't keep biting the hand that feeds you.
Right. Anyway, Jamie Blanks later said in an interview, forgive me for Valentine. A lot of people give me grief for that, but we did our best. Which, mm-hmm. I don't think it's that bad, but whatever. Let's see. The project originated at Artisan Entertainment with producer Dylan Sellers and writers Wayne and Donna Powers, with Wayne Powers attached to direct. The script had a different tone, and actors that were to be in the film included Luke Wilson, Tara Reid, and Madrakis Colbert. Never heard of whoever that is. The project went into turnaround to Warner Brothers, was rewritten, and Richard Kelly was originally offered the chance to direct, but he turned the offer down. Heidi Barres auditioned for the role of Dorothy Wheeler, and Anna Juhasz was considered for the role, but it was given to Jessica Capshaw instead. However, Blanks wanted Barres to star in the film and cast her as Ruthie Walker. Jessica Caulfield originally auditioned for Denise Richards. Ooh.
Yeah, really? Who's that? Is that Stripes or is that Argento?
That's Stripes.
Yeah. Anyway, Jessica Caulfield originally auditioned for Denise Richards' role of Paige. In the original cast, Jennifer Love Hewitt was apparently going to play Paige Prescott. And one more little piece here. Valentine had its Hollywood premiere at Hollywood Post number 43, American Legion, on February 1st, 2001. It earned just over $20 million in the United States and Canada, and a total gross of close to $37 million worldwide, or in the States and Canada, sorry, allowing the film to surpass its $29 million budget. It has a 9% poor rating from Rotten Tomatoes, with the general consensus being that Valentine is basically a formulaic throwback to conventional pre-scream slasher flicks. Critics say it doesn't offer enough suspense or scares to justify its addition to the genre. And that is all I have. Anyone else? Nathan, do you have anything?
No.
Okay, Eric and Justin, you can fight over.
Okay, I have some here, and most of this is pilfered from the commentary track, so forgive me for if you've listened to the commentary track. I'm just going to be regurgitating it. Originally, the Warner Brothers logo at the start was going to pulse like a heartbeat, and they actually did the graphics up for that, but they scrapped it at the last minute because he thought it didn't look quite right. Katherine Heigl was only on set for 3 days in the end because she was committed to Roswell, was a program she was filming at the same time, so they only had her for the 3 days. It was shot in 42 days in Vancouver in between July the 10th and September the 8th, 2000. Jamie Blanks on the commentary says the budget was only $10 million. Now again, you have to take everything with a pinch of salt because he was trying to, you know, keep his career alive, but I mean every other source I saw budgeted it at $29 million, as you said, Joseph. The director of photography was Rick Botta, who went on to do some of those ghastly Hellraiser sequels. He directed three of them. As I said, the MPAA approved the initial cut of Valentine, which was full of blood and more violence, and it was actually Jamie Blank, this is according to the commentary, Jamie Blank's decided to cut back, you know, because the climate at the time, he said, was, you know, they wanted to pull back a bit from violence. David Boreanaz was only available for a short time also, as he was filming Angel. So that explains why he sort of just briefly pops in and out of the film. Jamie Blanks also mentions that, and I don't remember this at the time, but the fact that David Boreanaz was the killer was leaked on the internet quite early, so he... You know, Jamie Blank says, you know, everyone going to the film at the time knew who the killer was, and he felt that sort of affected possible box office takings and possibly people's reactions to the film, what he was hoping for because of that. He originally wanted a horror icon for the role of Detective Vaughn. He was looking at possibly Bruce Campbell or Reggie Bannister from the Phantasm movies, but didn't get either in the end. And as you said, the film opened February the 2nd, 2001, and debuted at number 2 behind the absolutely stunning J-Lo movie, The Wedding Planner. And it went on to make $36 million internationally. So it did bear, if $29 million is in fact its budget, then it just barely broke even. That's all I have. Justin?
Well, I think it's also as a bit of a box office nerd, I think... the production budget doesn't always doesn't take into account the advertising budget.
Quite often. True, yeah.
So, because I read that this film was the only sub $10 million, again, this is going back, film that was had a Super Bowl premiere. So I presume that by that they mean the trailer ran during the Super Bowl, which I think is, I mean, for me and Eric, that means nothing. But I imagine
it's a big deal, apparently.
It's a big deal, isn't it? Yeah.
Toya played the Super Bowl halftime show.
No, she didn't, Eric.
She did.
No, you're thinking...
Last year, she played all her greatest hits to an audience of 40 billion.
No, you're thinking Supermarket. She opened Supermarket.
I walked right into that one.
You really did, didn't you? Okay. So... what?
Walk right in, sit right down. Justin's gonna make you the fool.
Nobody makes a fool out of me.
Too late. Of course, the thing we haven't mentioned is the film is based on a book by someone called Tom Savage. And I was curious to see, has anyone read the book?
Nope.
Read. Book.
Book. There we go.
Whatever next.
No, well, basically, I haven't read the book either, but it was released, I think, in 96. So at the time Scream was out, I mean, I don't know, maybe it predated it slightly. But there's a synopsis here, which I'll read. It's quite brief, but just to give you an idea of how different it is to the film and to the book. So, though laden with gimmicks, murders take place on St. Valentine's Day. A killer who slays by means of the ancient elements of fire, earth, wind and water. Savage's second thriller is a pleasurably crafty yarn, albeit not the, quite the puzzle box that his debut, Precipice, was. It says, best-selling mystery author Gillian Talbot is on top of the world. She has money, fame and a terrific lover, a baby on the way and a great best friend. Then she starts getting mysterious and soon to be nasty messages from an unknown Valentine. Eventually, Gillian learns that she's being stalked by ex-college classmate Victor DeMorta, whose expulsion from Hartley College, prompted by a cruel Valentine's Day prank, sent him back to his abusive parents, who he then killed. Now Victor is on parole from a mental hospital. After listening, devices are found in Gillian's apartment, and after she finds out that the three women who pulled the prank Victor mistakenly considers her fourth have each died or disappeared on the three preceding Valentine's Days, she flees to a writer's retreat far out in Long Island. The subsequent bloody climax is a bit unlikely, but Savage tells his story smoothly, and the trail of red herrings he scatters as he does so is truly awesome. So that is, obviously, it sounds like they're pretty loose with their adaptation of Valentine, because apart from the Valentine's Day and the fact there's a killer on the loose, it's and there was a prank that went, not even a prank that went wrong, was it? It's even more of a slasher movie setup, this. So do you think that would have made a better film?
Possibly.
Mm. So
needed more Toya, but made a better film. Less Marilyn Manson, more Toya.
So Toya, there's a spilt milk on aisle two.
I hate you.
when this came out, Catherine Heigl, is it Heigl or Heigl?
Heigl.
Heigl. She was actually quite, you know, again, this is probably a fluff piece, but she was pretty excited about the film. She's quoted saying, "I thought it was really kind of fun, very scary and very true for so many of us. We've either been the ones picked on or the one picking on someone. And this sort of shows the very hopefully bad and extremely negative outcome of that kind of behaviour," which that kind of thing smacks of someone writing it for her for a fluff piece. But she went on to say, "I just had a really good time." She says, however, Catherine said she sometimes found herself having more fun with the horror movie aspect as opposed to the real in-depth character study, which obviously there wasn't one. I was a really good time. My main purpose was there to make the suspense and the thrill and the terror of it very real. The character development kind of went by the wayside. So I thought that was kind of interesting that she was kind of at least allegedly was very kind of up for the film at the time. The only thing I found, something from Michigan Daily, Wilhelmina Moritz said the Valentine was most assuredly better than a lot of the movies that have come out in the past year, with a killer wearing a freaky Cupid mask that was reminiscent of classic films such as Halloween and Friday the 13th. There are also a variety of out-of-the-ordinary death scenes. It is not every day you see someone being shot with a bow and arrow. However, Valentine did have some major downfalls. For one, it's not really all that scary, which I find somewhat of a prerequisite for a horror movie. There are a few suspenseful scenes and some shocks that made me jump. For the most part, I was unimpressed. So there you go. So have you got anything else left for Valentine?
I don't think so.
Well, how about Eric's joke of the week?
Just to give you advance warning, it's bottom of the barrel time this week.
What's the difference?
usually the classic.
It's my joke of the week. It's so fantastic.
Why does Justin not want to shag the lead actor in Valentine?
I don't know, Eric.
Because he thinks David has a boring ass. It was the best I could come up with.
Oh,
not,
Eric.
Not even five glasses of gin could inspire me.
How does someone have a boring ass?
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything else. Shut up.
Oh, Eric. I'll play this to cheer you up.
Well, have you got your twangers out? And remember, you can bounce your balls at the same time if you like.
I love it.
Yes, I thought you would. So, okay, well, also, this is how to get in touch with the show, if I can find, which I can't find the...
Do we have any feedback this week?
We do, but I'm just going to... let me just play the... Oops. This is how to get in contact with the show, and we have a bit of feedback as well coming up after this.
Be sure to search for and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at THC_podcast. Our voicemail is 858-233-9281. And you can email us directly at the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com.
Okay.
It's been such a long time since we've had voicemail. I don't even know if the number still works.
Well, maybe someone can try it. It'd be nice to have some voicemail. Or if that's too much hassle, then just record yourself. And send it to us, and we can play it, because that's sometimes easier.
Yeah.
So, who's got some... I've got a bit of feedback. Does anyone else got anything?
No.
No? Just me?
Just you.
Why did I get sent it?
Because... I was feeling Justin should read it kind of mood, I guess.
Okay. As if I don't speak enough, as it is. But anyway, here we go. Dear Fearless Hosts, I'm writing to make an urgent suggestion plea for an episode dedicated to 1988 Italio trash witchery, a.k.a. witchcraft, evil encounters, a.k.a. La Casa 4. As I'm sure you know, this would fall into the category of flexibly defined slasher movies, a.k.a. Joseph's Picks. It does not feature a slasher, but rather a glamorous old witch, Toya, and her satanic minion.
Shut up!
But the movie has many of the hallmarks of a slasher movie and Linda Blair. Witchery traumatised me when it first appeared on cable in 1991, so I've been obsessed with it over the years. This obsession has been rekindled by the Scream Factory's recent Blu-ray release. I'd love to hear you discuss its bizarreness. As importantly, I'd love for you to feature it, because I've never encountered a movie with less background information. I've often described it similarly it's similar to a transmission from another planet. So I'd love to hear what you could dig up. I did read once that Hildegard Neff, the Hollywood actress turned German mod pop star turned scary ass witch, said that the movie isn't fit to be watched by sheeps in a field.
Sheeps?
Bad grammar. Yes. She might have said it. So finally, under normal circumstances, I would never dream of inviting myself to be on someone else's show. But I must let you know that if you ever do cover witchery, I would wake up at any hour, 5 a.m, to join you. That said, if you have the coven meeting without me, I will not be offended and vengefully possess Eric. That's from Ben Schur. So thank you, Ben.
Oh, Ben is, he's the co-presenter on Meeps podcast.
Yes.
Retro movie podcast. Witchery is a great movie. It actually has come out on Blu-ray by Scream Factory on a double bill with Ghost House, which is another great film.
Mm.
I'm not sure how slashery they are.
Mm.
But using the Joseph criteria, they probably are.
Mm.
But have you seen Witchery, anyone? With the Hoff and Linda Blair. It's great fun.
Yes.
It is fun.
I can't remember it that very well. They all kind of meld together, those kind of Umberto Lenzi. Is it an Umberto Lenzi movie?
I don't think Witchery is. A Ghost House is. I don't think Witchery, I think, is somebody else, but I'm not sure who.
Mm. Okay, well, no, it sounds like a good choice. Although we do have enough listener picks now that people who very kindly donated towards the making of Gory Graduation to see us through to 2019. So, but we could shoehorn a witchery in there, and obviously it'd be good to have you on the show, Ben. We've had Meep haven't we? We've all had Meep.
We've all had Meep.
So we'd like to have you too, Ben. So even Meep. maybe even on a different pick as well. We can always we're quite glad to share, aren't we, Eric?
Yes. So, Swingers. We're the swinging podcast.
Right. Okay. Well, if that's the only bit of feedback, then say we're back on a bit of an even keel. Hopefully, we'll see how things go. Because obviously, we're coming up to summer holidays, and as you know, myself and Eric tend to summer abroad most of the time.
You would all too if you lived in cloudland like me and Justin have to live in.
Well, no, it's still quite cloudy today as well. It's a bit unfortunate, but it's probably is it even light where you are in Tennessee?
It is now, but it's very foggy right now.
Oh, scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, Nathan, it's your choice, isn't it, to pick one of our dear listeners' picks? So
I'm afraid I'm not. It's not a listener's pick. Oh, I'm deviating just slightly.
Nathan, after I've just said that, Ben, we couldn't choose Witchery because of this, and we're completely off track. But
hey, I donated to the film, so I get a listener pick.
Fair enough. Okay, so what are you going to regale us with next time?
Well, I'm finally going to get that drill death scene because we are going to be talking about the Slumber Party Massacre.
Yes, we're very excited to be doing that, to be visiting the man with the drill.
And just remind us, Joseph, who do we have to thank for Valentine?
That would be Chris Genro.
Well, thank you, Chris. Well, I hope you enjoyed us talking about it. And I don't know, you should write in and let us know what you thought of the movie as well, because... did we do it justice? Is it a lost classic? What do you think? So, and anyone else, write in. So, well, we're going to have a quick break. We're going to leave you now, but we're going to have a quick break, and then we're going to get on to recording the commentary for 88 Films' Nailgun Massacre. So that will be coming to video shops. That ages me, doesn't it? To DVD stores and Blu-ray stores.
DVD stores is even dating you now as well.
Super 8 stores.
You can find it on Amazon or something.
Yeah.
Smoke signal stores. Yes, you'd be able to buy it on Amazon, hopefully. I think it's going to be region free, but I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, we're going to have fun recording that in a minute. But we will be back in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully, with the Slumber Party Massacre. So, Joseph, what are we playing out with?
This is Breed by Snake River Conspiracy, which plays over the end credits and is also a group I love very much.
Oh, well, then if it's a group you like very much, Justin will probably put our speaking all over it and then fade in Susie and the Banshees at the end.
Yes, he probably
like he did on the Alien podcast last time.
I didn't do that, Eric.
You did. I had Toya planned to play out with, and you had us speaking all over it, and then, the creatures, sorry. Yeah, then the creatures come in at the end.
Well, it was just
with no speaking over it. Oh, what a coincidence!
Well, that was completely unintentional, Eric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't let me have my moment.
Who are you, fucking Marty McCutcheons?
Oh my god!
And you said the F word,
and he said it so aggressively as well.
I can see you there clutching your pearl necklace.
I am.
Ew!
I feel. Yeah, it's sticky.
Right. Okay, on that bombshell, we'll bid you a fond adieu, and Eric will
fond adieu.
Yes. Okay, well, see you next time. Say goodbye to good people.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dance with me, people.
Ew.
How's your head, Eric?
My head is fine. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay. Fair enough. So, are we...
Ha.
What?
You just were expecting me to be violently ill. I was kind of shocked when I saw how depleted the gin bottle was this morning, though. Mm.
First is the worst. Second is the best. Third is one big fat loser. Big fat coffee loser.
I might need about 15 because I gotta go wake Wes up and make him come in the living room. And
it's not that kind of podcast.
I'm glad that you're not recording now.
I am.
Oh, shit.